It was the year of deep geeking.
The year of Feedbackapalooza.
The year we discussed our favorite show.
It was the year without Zima.
The year of great tequila.
The year of puns.
And a year of more interviews.
It was a new chance for fun.
It was the end of the series.
It was the year we made it to Crusade.
The year is 2009. The show, Babylon Podcast.
And welcome back for another Babylon Podcast. I am Summer Brooks.
I'm Tim Callender.
Happy Indakosh Day. It's Jeffrey. Independence Day. Indakosh. It doesn't work. Happy 4th of Kosh Day. Happy Kasha July Day. Happy.
Indakosha Davida?
I got nothing, guys. I'm so sorry.
Indakosha Davida. Baby. Don't you know that I love you?
The 20-minute drum solo on the Help is what we missed the song.
Hey, we need that song. Somebody do that song.
I know. That would be great.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, my broadcasting career started in radio, and that song was awesome because you could put it on and then go potty.
you could go down and order deli.
You could go get some dinner, hang out.
Those were the days. Thank God that's over with. And here I am podcasting. Cruel world. Hello, Tim. Hello, Summer. How art thou?
We art fine. How are you, Jeffrey?
Art good. Art good.
Oh, good. Glad to hear it.
So, are you ready?
Yeah, let's do these dates.
Ready?
Okay.
Oh, you got them.
It's not a good B5 podcast if we don't really just dive into this. We are recording this on July 1st,
yes.
2009. One. You're not hearing it until July 8th, but one. July 1st is, of course, come on,
my
surely you
birthday.
Know. Really? Yeah. What's your sister's name?
Sharon.
Sharon, happy damn birthday to you.
Yeah.
That's great. Where does Sharon live?
She's in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Nice. Did you call her today?
Oh, yeah.
Did you send her a card?
Yeah, actually.
Did you buy her a nice present?
Heck no.
Loser. Okay.
I sent her an annoying email, though, but...
Annoying?
Yeah.
Her birthday, is she older or younger than you?
She's younger.
Wow.
Yeah, so she has to do what I say.
Yeah, you think, but guess what? There's going to be a day in your near future where you're the guy laying in bed with tubes coming out of your body, and your sister's going to be the only one that gives a... So... Remember this day, my friend. She will.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. For those of you who are from the northern states, you know that today is Canada Day, July 1st, Canada Day. All hail Canada.
Beauty. Hey.
Yeah, exactly. But what you didn't probably know is today is Creative Ice Cream Flavor Day.
What?
Ooh, Zima ice cream.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
So wait, this is where they come up with all the crazy ice cream ideas that actually make people sick?
It all happens on this one day right now. The rest of 364 days, nobody's got any clever
ideas.
It's
like Christmas, but left out of the fridge for 3 months.
There you go.
Exactly. Caution right. Cream, caution raspberry.
Barbecue shrimp ice cream, shrimp ice cream. Wrap that two way. Dog food.
You realize that you just sent the entire chat room down a rabbit hole now.
Oh yeah.
Bubba Kosh's shrimp, right?
Exactly. Okay. It's also today. This is great. July 1 is such a big day. It really is. This should be our Independence Day right now because there's so many great things. It's also International Joke Day. No, I'm serious.
Two guys walk into a bar.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Ouch.
Two Vorlons walked into a bar. No, wait. How does that go? That was that horrible one I said. Two Vorlons walk into a gay bar, and the one says, "Hey, can I push that stool in for you?" Oh, okay, thank you. It's also today is Diana, Prince of Wales' birthday. Today was her. Remember Princess Diana?
Yes.
See how I skipped right over that?
Yes.
Her birthday, exactly. Also, Michael, I know this is near and dear to your Nebraska heart. Build a Scarecrow Day.
Yes. Yeah, I know about that.
I know, Summer, this is really important to you too today. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, is Praise a Postal Worker Day.
So they won't shoot you.
Yeah.
Well, does that involve sacrificing of animals?
Because for 364 days out of the year, summer goes postal on most people.
What?
Oh, but wait, the fun is tomorrow, because tomorrow is I Forgot Day.
Oh!
Absolutely. They have something called I Forgot Day, and that's July 2nd. July 2nd is also halfway day. I don't know what that means.
Day.
I have no idea what halfway day is. But it's listed here as July 2nd is halfway day.
Does that mean everybody just gets a third base? Is that...
No, that's second base. Mike.
Second base?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm always a little past halfway.
That's right. Right.
I think this is sort of a halfway podcast.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Oh, no, that'd be a half-assed podcast.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry.
I wonder if halfway day is when you get a little bit pregnant. Okay. July 2nd is also listed. I have no idea what this is. You would think I would, but I don't. Ducktona 500.
Ducktona 500?
The Ducktona 500.
Okay, that one we have to look up now, immediately.
Aaron, you know anything about the Ducktona 500?
Ducktona 500. You want me to look that up
now? Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
That sounds like a Carology episode in the middle.
It really does.
Exactly. July 3rd, Dog Days of Summer begins. Summer. Did you hear that?
Uh-huh.
Dog Days of Summer begins. Also, July 3rd is... This is great. Compliment Your Mirror Day.
Well, like baby, you have such great beveled edges.
I found it.
You found the Ducktona 500?
The Ducktona 500 Family Festival and Car Show, Sunday, July 5th, 2009, Sheboygan Falls.
It's in Sheboygan?
It's in Sheboygan.
Nice.
There's
just not enough functions that happen in Sheboygan.
I don't know. Well, I don't see anything about the race. I see kids on Hot Wheels getting ready to, or Big Wheels getting ready to run, and then we've got petting zoos, and they've got a classic car show.
They have
a car show. Yeah.
The Ducktona 500.
The Ducktona 500.
What's... I'm thinking that Compliment Your Mirror Day is the perfect national holiday for Hollywood. July 3rd is also, of course, National Tom Sawyer Day.
Oh.
Oh, today's Tom Sawyer. He's a mean, mean guy.
None of this has anything to do with B5. That's a great show. Wait till I get there.
All right,
July 4th. Independence Day, okay?
What's
July
that?
4th is also... Yeah, I know. It's a obscure reference
American
to
thing,
1776 or something like that.
A regional holiday, I think.
I think it's a D.C. thing.
Patting us on our back because we threw tea in a river or something. I don't remember.
Yeah. July 4th is also Sidewalk Egg Frying Day.
What?
Oh, that has to be an Arizona holiday.
It's also Barbecue Day and Country Music Day and then July 5th, I wouldn't know anything about this. It's Workaholics Day. July 5th is also Anxiety Day. Oh, gosh, I know nothing about that. And then, of course,
July 6th is Prozac Day.
The July 5th is also for all of our listeners in Venezuela, it's your Independence Day, and all of our listeners in Algeria, it's your Independence Day. Congrats to all of you out there, both of you. And then July 6th is Fried Chicken Day.
Oh. Surprisingly, that's not on the 4th. You'd think those days would be together.
Well, you have to have the chicken around first to fry the egg on the sidewalk before you can fry the chicken for dinner.
Or maybe that fried chicken comes back on July 6th. Maybe that's what that... there's that whole digestive period. Here's
those
what
zombie
else
chickens?
Is something... There you go. Something else for you to digest is July 6th is the birthday of President George W. Bush.
Yeah.
All right.
No comment.
Okay.
Talking about chickens and eggs.
Crickets up here in the background? What? July 6th is also National Cherry Festival Day. July 7th is Cherry Pit Spitting Day, And what did you have for July 7th, Tim?
Well, that is the date, the last time that Anna and John Sheridan speak to one another.
Really?
Of course, that's in 2256, but yes.
You are a hyper.
No, I have to thank official contributor to the show, Gary.
Right. July 6th, dad and daughter take a walk day. Sorry, mother. July 6th, Pinocchio Adventure Day. July 6th is also the birthday of artist Marc Chagall. And it's the running of the bulls in Spain. And it's Saba Saba Day in Tanzania. I know you knew that, Michael, but work with me here, okay? It's radio show.
Celebrated and all the time.
July 8th, Video Games Day.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Woo-hoo.
All right.
July 8th, are you ready for this? This is ridiculous. July 8th is also Don't Put All Your Eggs in One Omelet Day. I got nothing.
Is that after you fry them on the sidewalk?
I guess. July 9th is Blonde Day. July 9th is also Sugar Cookie Day. Ew. And July 10th is Pina Colada Day. Sugar cookies and pina coladas, that's not good.
Is July 11th taking a walk in the rain?
Oh, wait. Well, let's not try to fast forward here, because July 10th is also Hot Diggity Dog Day and Teddy Bear Picnic Day. I don't know. And for the 27 listeners we have in Wyoming, July 10th is Wyoming Statehood Day, and then Swimming Pool Day is on the 11th. And Cheer Up the Lonely Day is the 11th. Okay, so Summer, if you want to throw your 12th in now, you can go ahead.
July 12th, 2245, first contact between humans and Minbari. That did not end well.
No. That was also Fried Chicken Day the next day, or Fried.
No, it was Fried Okra Day.
No, it was.
Well, actually, I know when Fried Okra Day is.
Did you say Okra Day? Or
there is a Fried Okra Day.
The fact that you know it is scary.
Well,
all right.
What else happened on July 12th?
The Babylon 5 Mutual Defense Treaty was signed.
Yes.
2260. We have to have a little bit of Babylon 5 content in the beginning, or people are just going to start skipping over it.
Yeah, think.
Well, considering this show has this segment has now consumed a quarter of the show.
It's going to go longer because we're going to do all those voicemails. So if this is an hour and 15 minutes, so be it.
That's right. But before we go, I have one last thing to mention, which got overlooked in all the excitement of having JMS on. And I made a post on the website, but I don't know if everybody saw it. I had a wonderful conversation with Susie the Southern Geek over on her show, How to Grow Your Geek. And we talked Babylon 5, and we talked video games, and we talked, of course, growing geeks. So head on over to Susie's podcast. Check it out. It was a lot of fun talking with her. And, yeah. So I just want to let everybody know. Go check that out.
Fantastic.
You give good shout out.
It was a fun show. Susie's a lot of fun.
All right, and I guess we'll be back with more after this. I don't know why I'm taking this out, but okay.
You know, sometimes when you're looking for something just a little bit more refreshing, you've got to turn to
Slice of Sci-Fi. SliceofSciFi.com.
And we're back with how many messages are over there? 30?
25.
26.
No, 26.
26. That's a lot of voicemails.
They actually tend to be a little on the short side of things. But let me say this, first of all. Let me apologize to all our listeners. I underestimate the amount of feedback we get on a regular basis. And so I'm going to start working. I mean, the feedback of paloozas are fun, but I think even if I play, if we dig out two or three messages a week, we'll still have plenty for feedback of paloozas. So look for more voicemails and emails singly and pairs coming in the future, because that's only 25 of 50 that we got in the last month.
Well, there you go.
In a month? So,
Yeah, in a month. I know we're not Slice of Sci-Fi where you get that in an hour, Mike, but even still.
Saying a word.
Feedback. Appalooza.
That's awesome. I am using that.
Oh no.
I am pulling that.
Where did that come from?
I don't know.
Just trying to make a good
It's weird. Jeffrey is in my brain because I was just thinking we need some sort of really cool feedback palooza open for this. And there it is.
Oh my God.
Voice. That was like the duck story. It's all over now.
Hey, Badcasters, it's Gary, and I'm listening to JMS describe exactly sort of what happened with What Killed Crusade. And as a fan, you always know something happened, and you're not quite sure what. You get the feeling that just TNT wasn't satisfied. At least that's what I do from a cursory look at the information in some of the little older sci-fi magazines and even a few postings here and there across the net. But to have him, say point blank that, he saw a memo from, and that the administration of TNT actually wanted it dead so they could buy some cop show, and I'm guessing that cop show is possibly Law & Order, since they seem to show it for about a third of their production schedule every day. That's just, besides being a lack of faith in JMS, plus a lack of faith in honoring the contract that they signed. I guess Crusade was just destined to fail for no fault of its own. I really wanted to blame it on the bellhop uniforms, but I guess now that's not really possible since JMS explained everything. Also, the rub with, Sci-Fi Channel, where it wasn't able to get the distribution rights for either Crusade and or Babylon 5, it's just such a lost missed opportunity, and, it saddens my heart. As I go through my TiVo, I can find, reruns of Star Trek, some Farscape, all these great science fiction shows that are still on the air. Yet the one noticeable exception is Babylon 5, and it just does to discredit the science fiction in general. As Mike, you said, take care, guys. Bye.
Here's the curious thing. The bellhop uniforms were what were designed initially, and TNT, as I recall, actually came back with more money so that they could get the cool uniforms. So it's a really bizarre turn of events that, they added money into the budget so they could do some things they didn't originally think of doing. And then they come along and torpedo it. It's very bizarre.
Hey, Badcasters. It's Gary from Jacksonville. I'm listening to JMS explain the whole syndication, Warner Brothers not working together issues. And I found it, really enlightening. We'd heard some of this before from Jeffrey, but JMS seemed to go into it, or at least his angle, a little bit differently. It's really interesting that, I guess, as JMS was saying, that all the PTN shows have become sort of the redheaded stepchildren of Warner Brothers, because they weren't a direct syndication product and that they had gone through PTN in the first place. And it's sort of interesting that, as I said, not only does Babylon 5 have this black ball, but, so does The Legend of Kung Fu, so does Time Tracks, and all those other PTN-distributed shows. It goes back to, I guess, the quote that JMS says that, Warner Brothers would rather have 100% of nothing than 50% of something. And, gosh, it's just disheartening. Talk to you later, guys. Bye.
Yeah, it almost makes me, fear. Like, how does television get anything done? How does Warner Brothers get anything done basically trying to cannibalize themselves? I don't get it.
Yeah. I think it's been stated that WB is a corporate entity that where perhaps synergy is not a prime focus, within the departments and all that sort of stuff.
But if everybody in Hollywood knew this, why did they let AOL buy them? They only took both companies completely down to nothing.
There you go. That's the reason. Competition out of the way.
AOL was competition for Time Warner?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think so. That's just funny. AOL, yes, we're going to make this one synergistic company. No.
We need to get Greg Mayday on because he's obviously in the WB camp, has been a champion of the show. And I'd really like to hear what he has to say about, you know, from his side of things, what he's trying to do or has worked to try to do to keep the show alive in the face of all this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Greg is still right here on top of the list.
Good.
I'm just letting you know. I'm looking at the list that's right here in front of me. And he's at the top of the list.
Excellent.
This is Neil from Bowie. I'm closer to the end of 157 now. And I just heard that Tim hasn't been watching Lost. I am shocked and horrified. Tim, you need to go get all the DVD sets and start watching. Lost is probably the best thing on television right now. It's great. And has a long arc. You should thoroughly enjoy it. That's all.
Hey, guys, this is Mark from Columbus. Long-time listener, actually from the beginning, but always a lurker and first-time caller. I am listening to Babylon Podcast number 157, your feedback-palooza. You brought up the issue about whether Lost was starting to sound like Babylon 5, taking some of the Babylon 5 storytelling. I most definitely have to disagree with you guys. It is definitely taking on the Babylon 5 story arc. Instead of order versus chaos, we are running down towards fate versus destiny, but it's set up just like the Vorlon Shadow, two poles, the same two sides of the same coin. And the hero with the initials JS tossing the nuke down the hall, that's just the icing on top of the cake. But it's definitely got the same undertones, and it's even more than just that. But definitely Lost and then Babylon 5 are kind of merging in the storytelling techniques. So, and I've long-time Babylon 5 fan right from the beginning and Lost fan right from the beginning, and they are definitely taking on a very similar approach to storytelling. Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work.
See, Neil, that's why I don't need to see Lost, because Mark just told me it's exactly like Babylon 5.
He's right. Lost is really excellent. It really slowed down for season 3. It was really tough to get through that one, but if you stick through it, the payoff for this last season is well worth the time.
Hi, this is Andrew, and I can give you a warm greetings from Tucson, Arizona. I guess I'm no longer a lurker, first time call, listening to you since the first. Promo, I guess. I got interested in Babylon 5 from Soul Hunter. I love the ending and wanted more. The reason I'm calling is twofold. One is that after the first two episodes in June, I thought you were, as in the vernacular of baseball, were experiencing a June swoon. But now that I'm getting ready to listen to 161, I know that's not true. Good job. And finally, one of the episodes you were talking about the Apocalypse Box. The Crusade Writer's Bible supposedly has quite a bit to say about the origins of the Apocalypse Box, being that I've never seen this book. Maybe somebody else can let us know. All right, until the next call, where I'll be less nervous, all I can say is be there. Aloha.
Nervous.
Aloha. Yeah, I appreciate
nervous,
his,
Andrew,
his honesty. Yeah, he sounded pretty good for not being nervous. But
yeah,
that was fun.
But yes,
right. So what about his summer?
I have to go dig it out of its laminated, gold encrusted protective covering. But from what I remember, it did explain. It mentioned how the box was really Gideon, but it didn't explain how that happened. That was one of those mysteries. And they also talked about Darina's journey a little bit, how she was going to end up having some sort of sword. At that, I believe we talked to her about that. She says, "Oh yeah, me with a sword."
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
That would have been great.
We need to find the next universe over where TNT threw all their weight behind Crusade and let it run for 5 years.
Actually, we need to find the alternate universe where Sci-Fi Channel didn't buy First Wave and did buy Crusade.
That works too. Yeah, I'm up for that.
Hi, guys. It's Edmund from Greenville, and that podcast that dare not speak its name in case JMS or Warner Brothers lawyers are listening. I just wanted to thank you for that wonderful interview. I was floored when the live feed started and JMS chimed in Jeffrey's place. But since then, I've done a little digging, and I just wanted to weigh in on Warner's bizarre corporate structure. This seems to be a case of sibling rivalry gone wild. Jack and Sam Warner made the movies in Hollywood. Harry and Albert Warner ran the business and financial end out of New York City. The brothers never got along well, with Jack and Harry famously disputing over who contributed more to the studio's success. The age-old battle between art and commerce made very personal. Anyway, with the founders always trying to get a leg up on the other, it's no surprise that the company eventually devolved into warring factions and divisions. However, weighing both sides, I still think having V5 at Warner's was a plus. The creative freedom they were given allowed the story we love to be told as close to intended as possible, with some of the usual bumps along the way. Paramount would most likely have constantly meddled and insisted on changes to make it more commercial and viable as a franchise. Personally, I'll take the better story over extended but diluted content. Be seeing you.
Yeah, I think JMS himself pretty much said as much during the interview. He made a comment as we were going on about this where he says, you know, he doesn't want to paint Warners as the bad guys, and that was the reason that they, you know, after episode two of season two, they left him alone. And, you know, that's one of those things. I don't know that you'd ever find the happy medium where you get to tell the stories you want to tell and still have the kind of commercial push that you might want.
Mm-hmm. But aren't all four of the original Warner Brothers dead now? Can't they move on?
Well, you know, but I think Edmund's point is a good one. It's been institutionalized.
Yeah.
Those conflicts are part of the psychological makeup of the company.
Wow. And for some reason, an episode of CSI where these people were actually, these corporate executives were beating each other up to the point where one of them cut the head off of another with a sword.
Well, that's one way to end a board meeting.
Yeah. Okay. We'll live with it.
They have assistants to clean that up. It's another department.
So, what did the Pacmara eat at Subway? Easy. A 5-day-old foot long.
Okay. We're cutting him off. That's just wrong.
Hello, this is Neil from Bowie. I'm listening to the end of show 155, which for some reason Jeffrey thought was show 154, but maybe there's something weird with Jeffrey. Anyway, hearing Gary's comments on the Ask and Answer book, probably by now that he's seen the actual thing, his mind has been changed. I've been glancing at it ever since it arrived last week, and it's been a marvelous job that they did with it. The electronic copy, basically, I mean, you can just go to jmsnews.com and find a lot of the stuff electronically if you really want that. But the way the first volume has been organized, it looks really nice, and it's better than I expected, and probably better than anybody else has expected. It's a good publication. That's all.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
Yes. I have not received my copy yet, but I've been told it's on the way.
Hello, this is Neil from Bowie. Yes, it's 2:22 a.m. I'm on my way to Goddard for a Keller-O-Shift. It launched yesterday, real nice launch. Third opportunity in the launch window, the weather just cleared in Florida, and we're on the way to the moon. Anyway, I just wanted to call about that, and I read that you just interviewed JMS, so I'm looking forward to hearing the two podcasts or so that you're going to be putting together with the interview, and I hope you tell us how that all transpired. Behind scenes, who arranged it, and so forth. Looking forward to the whole story of that and all the exciting things that you did. That's awesome.
Yeah, we could tell you, but it'll cost you.
For what it's worth, Neil works at Goddard, and LRO he's talking to is Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter. And once I get off my lazy butt, I'll get some of the information that Neil sent on about the mission posted on our website. But he sent in a handful of emails or voicemails. You'll hear him. Yeah, I'm ending my shift. Yeah, I'm starting my shift. so it makes me wonder, that it's amazing the thing got to the moon with their workers listening to the Babylon podcast.
And for the record, everybody, I want you to know that it's Tim's lazy yet adorable butt.
Of course.
Wow. Hello, this is Neil from Bowie. I'm presently at my building at Goddard here. I just listening to the beginning of 158, and I was glad to see that Summer is also a fan of Burn Notice. Real great show. As for the question of when Farpoint Day is, well, of course, that's when the Farpoint Science Fiction Convention outside of Baltimore takes place in February, the usually around President's Day weekend. That's all.
I don't know. I think Farpoint Media Day has to happen in February.
No. Farpoint Day.
I know. Definitely. I know what he's talking about. But I remember the conversation saying we need a Farpoint Day for us, so.
So would it be? Wouldn't it be Pool Party Day?
No, it has to be February because that's when this whole thing started. Was in February.
Okay.
Every day is Farpoint Day.
Yeah, exactly. It's not about the date; it's the where. I mean, when you start having Farpoint Media Day in the Caribbean, I'm there.
Well
I was going to say, if you have Farpoint in your heart, that's all you need.
See, that's the thing is, if we have a Farpoint Media Day, we can have it everywhere in the world.
There you go.
Okay.
Now you're thinking.
Now we're talking.
Global domination.
Yeah, exactly.
Brought to you by Citrix.
One podcast at a time.
Hey, Babylon 5 people. This is Freehold South. Sounding a lot less depressed than the last time I called. Well, the first time I called, anyway. And the last. First and last. Here's another one. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the old British show called Spaced, but I had recently gotten it and finished watching it. And here's a little audio clip I'd like to play you guys, all tongue-in-cheek, and definitely this is not safe for work, but here it goes, our lovable Scotty, well, anyway, here he is, his commentary about Babylon 5.
Derek, Babylon 5 is a big pile of shit.
Enjoy.
Who was that?
What? Babylon 5 is what?
A big pile of... But who said that?
Summer, I still love you, okay?
It wasn't me.
I think everybody else bailed on us, but I still love you.
Okay.
Well, this is Neil from Bowie. Listening to some more of the 154 podcast with the new pod person personality of Tim there. And starting to get used to the new version of Tim. I guess Jeffrey went through the change a year or so ago, and now we've got Tim, so I guess we'll all get used to him. I was also thinking, listening to the deep geeking on the Long Island Fonda Malari and the discussion about Lanier, I was wondering, was Lanier ever told about Sheridan only having 20 more years to live? Anyway, I was just thinking about that and thinking that if he had been told that, whether that he would, his actions might have been a little different, knowing that he only have to wait 20 years, or maybe he did already know and just couldn't wait that long. That's all.
First of all, I did not realize that both Jeffrey and Tim had their own personal episodes of Chrysalis.
Went through the change.
Went through the change.
your Babylon podcast donation dollars at work, folks.
But no, I don't believe they told anybody. I think the only people who knew ahead of time were Franklin, Garibaldi, the command level people.
I don't recall that it's expressly stated one way or the other. And it's funny you say that, because my assumption would be that Delenn would have told Lanier, because despite the fact that she seems mostly oblivious to his obvious infatuation, I also get the sense that there's not a whole lot that she would keep from him unless it was something that she deemed would be harmful or hurtful. And I don't see that
where would she have had time to tell him, because he was off doing ranger training most of that time?
What, when they found out he only had 20 years? They found that out in the third year. Or at the end of season 3, beginning of season 4. So
middle
she would
of,
have
yeah,
had a
first of season 4, but she wouldn't have told him. I don't think she would have told him. Well, she was
See, I think she would have.
Hmm. He just got impatient? I don't know. I don't know.
See, I'd
have to check.
Like,
I have to, I don't know. I don't know that we ever, cuz I know we don't see her tell him. But we know that after a while, Franklin and Garibaldi, Garibaldi and them know later, but Franklin knows right up at, you know, at front, because he's trying to figure out what happened.
Right.
But I don't know that we ever told Lanier. And it's, you know, it's obvious that, I don't know, when would they have told Ivanova? Before?
Yeah.
Like during the war? I don't know. Because, you know, they were all busy with the Mimbari Civil War and the Earth Civil War. Just kind of, you know, certain things are just not quite so important as other people shooting at you.
I guess, but it seems to me that this would be something, you know, in the same way that you've got an incurable disease, you just you gather everyone together and you just say, want you all to know, here's the deal, I've got 20 years left to live. Don't want it to change how we're relating. We've got more important things to, but at least have said something,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I'll grant you that in this show, there are so many instances of those small interpersonal moments
mm-hmm.
that you would think we would have been given a scene like that. But again, I don't necessarily think it precludes it having happened either.
But we also know that it wasn't common knowledge beyond the inner circle.
Right.
So,
well, I don't think they would have told Londo.
No.
And not necessarily Jakar either.
No. And they definitely didn't tell, you know, Zach or the greater...
Or Corwin or Mac
yeah.
or Bo.
Yeah. Or Mac or Bo. And they, you know, they definitely didn't, you know, it wasn't public knowledge at the time. And the only people who found out later, I mean... I would like to find out who knew ahead of time, who knew before they got their letters in Sleeping in Light. Like, who knew before they got those letters? Because most everybody that we saw on screen didn't have to open the letters to know what was going on.
Right, exactly. Yeah, Franklin says to Garibaldi, is that what I think that is?
Yeah.
I'm thrilled you guys got that, because as I listened to that, all I heard was... that possibly he was talking about a character that worked at Home Depot in the lumber section called Veneer.
And on that note, we're going to take just a really quick break and come back with the rest of today's Feedbackapalooza. And I think we have a lot more.
Yes, we do. I promise.
Feedbackapalooza! With Tim Callender!
Can't Stop the Serenity 2009, worldwide charity screenings for equality now.
Joss Whedon's Serenity is on the big screen again to benefit his favorite charity, The Quality Now. We've raised over $250,000 since 2006, but we need your help again. Also featuring the theatrical debut of Dr. Horrible's Sing-Along Blog. Visit CantStopTheSerenity.com to find a local screening near you.
Okay, I'm guessing everyone's refilled their beverages, and we're gonna we're gonna continue on with a few more voicemails.
I'm sorry.
What do we have next?
This is Neil from Bowie calling in. I'm listening to show 160 on my way into the LRO Lunar Orbit Insertion Maneuver, and enjoyed another session inside the Borlon Vault. It was interesting to hear about the Cult TV magazine. I don't think I'd ever seen a Cult TV magazine, though I'd seen some of the other magazines at the time. There were a lot of good magazines coming out from the UK, and so it'd be good to hear about more of those and other exciting things inside the Borlon Vault. That's all.
Yeah, I know I had seen Cult Times, but we didn't always have them where I was. And it looked like a really, really good magazine. And yeah. I want to get all of the B5 cover ones because that's just really cool.
Yeah, no, I think it's true with all European publications. They are just slicker and nicer and printed better because they don't have EPA rules there and have to worry about the quality of the materials they're working with. And that's all very good. Fine stuff and high resolution prints and all that stuff was always very good.
So do you have more things from the vault you can share with us in the future?
It's possibly.
Baguette. Babylon baguette.
I got nothing.
Babylon 5.
Uh-huh. Sank.
Sank.
Babylon
float.
Sank.
Babylon float.
That's one of your flavors of ice cream that nobody eats.
Oh boy. Next voicemail.
Hey Badcasters, it's Gary. And is it me, or is this the first time during a view from the gallery that they ever list Babylon 5 even having light pods? I mean, all the different battles and wars, you think it would have came up at some point. So, you know, maybe the upper people really don't care about the little people, and because I never hear anyone at CNC telling everybody to go to the light pod when the station's about to be attacked, or there's a bomb about to explode it down in the fusion core. It seems like a sort of a little last-minute throw-in thing now this far late in the game. Take care, guys. Bye.
Mm. You know what's funny about that, or not funny, but funny, but I just thought I would, not too long ago, The Fifth Element was re-airing on one of the cable networks, whatever it was, and I watched it again and again and again, because it was, you know, that's just a fun adventure movie. It's kind of
awesome.
Like, yeah, exactly, you know, and she's drop-dead sexy, but there's a scene in The Fifth Element where the quote-unquote cruise ship is going to blow up, and all the passengers have to run to the life pods. And every time I see that, I'm like, oh, how come we never did that on B5? An evacuation of B5 would have been a massive undertaking and a hugely dramatic situation, you know, and what would you have done if you had to suddenly evacuate 5 miles of people, you know? Wow. I mean, that would have been,
I think there was mention of it, the episode, what was it, A Day in the Strife with the probe. Remember they were saying how long
the ancient probe thing?
Yeah, they were saying it would take like 4 days to evacuate the station,
right?
But and that was offloading people to cruisers or other interstellar ships. That was nothing about life pods.
Right, and I think Gary's right. I think that's the one and only time that anything about life pods are mentioned. So here's this, that's the interesting thing. I suspect that that's one of those things when they were designing the station, somebody in the meeting said, "Hey, what if we have to evacuate?" And they just decided that it was an impossible thing, so let's just assume that it will never have to happen so we don't have to plan for it.
So you're saying the station was designed by the Titanic creators?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Basically.
Mm-hmm. But we
you're right. Think about it. Even if you had enough life pods for every single man, woman, and child on board that station.
Quarter million people.
Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. The stampede to get to them would have killed people.
Yep.
Absolutely.
It would have made the running of the bulls in Pamplona look like a picnic.
Exactly. What day is that on, Jeffrey?
What?
What day is that on?
You have to listen to the front of the show again. You can't be
okay,
just...
sorry, yeah. Yeah, but that's so that's, you know, one of those design flaws. And I don't think, you know, in the context of the show, it may not be bad writing. I seriously, legitimately can see some planning committee deciding it's not, you know, let's just hope they never have to use them and don't put anything in.
And having life pods only available for ambassadors kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But the fact that we never heard about them.
Dying.
Right. The fact that we never heard about them until season 5 is kind of odd.
I think that the use of life pods in evacuating Babylon 5 was clearly a strong story point in season 6.
I agree. I think you're right.
Hi, guys. It's Edmund from Greenville. So, Summer, you've interviewed JMS on the Babylon podcast. You've got Robert Wertheimer coming up on the Charlie Jade podcast.
Yep.
Are you ready to go for the trifecta, your own personal hat trick, and finally get Joss on Slice of Sci-Fi? After all, he does have a new season of Dollhouse to promote. Be seeing you.
Wow.
Not for lack of trying.
He's too busy jumping on the trampoline in JMS backyard.
But no, that he is on my list of people to try to get for the fall season when Dollhouse comes back. But yeah, that would be kind of
nice.
Cool. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, that would be good. Mm-hmm. I'm pulling for that too.
I'm still trying to see if we can actually talk to Christopher Lloyd because he's got a miniseries on NBC coming up next week.
Okay, I'll talk to Doc Brown too.
Okay.
Nice. I was thinking of Commander Krug.
Hello, this is Neil from Bowie. I just finished listening to show 169, the Three Heads of Summer show, which was entertaining, and it was nice to hear on today, the first day of summer. So, anyway, just had to call in. That's all.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Hello, Babylon 5 Podcast. This is David in Augusta, Georgia. Man, what a great podcast and what a great TV show. When it first came on, I didn't watch it because I couldn't get past the costumes. A guy dressed like a Napoleonic vampire, a lizard dressed like a Roman centurion. I had no idea. My girlfriend introduced me to the show, and I got hooked. It's great. It's wonderful, and I really like your podcast. Information and insight. There's an episode with Bester, and he's recruiting people into his evil empire, and all through the episode he has one glove on and he doesn't seem to use that hand. Was there really something going on with Walter Koenig's or Koenig's hand, or was that something to do with his character?
That was a character affectation he had developed. I think he specifically said that in one of the interviews we did with him. That was something that he came up with for Bester.
Yes. His rationale was that it was a physical impediment that also feeds into his ambition. You know, it's something more for him to overcome. Now, what's interesting is in the Psycore trilogy by Greg Keyes, they give the rationale as to why his hand is clenched. And I don't know if I should do spoilers or not, but if you can find the books, read it. It's a pretty intriguing reason as to why that happens.
I just thought it was a sex toy.
Oh.
God.
The image will never leave my brain.
Hey, Tim. Don't let Jeffrey bother you. You know, Mr. I drink, therefore I am, is just, you know, we know he's there just to, you know, kind of keep him out of the old actor's home. And PowerPoints.
Ouch.
Public service keeping him off the streets. The reason that he doesn't fall asleep is, how do you tell the difference between him being conscious and not conscious?
Oh!
Yeah, well, you know about Jeffrey, so we don't have to tell you anything more.
Wow.
Love you guys. Bye.
Oh!
Yo!
Oh, and that was all we had to say? That wasn't a lead-up to some Tim question? Holy
wow. Is that somebody? I was like, did you like, beat the pants off him in poker or something?
I'll have to go through my notes.
Ouch.
Wow.
You have to remember, that's in reference to Jeffrey's comment about my vocal endurance on his appearance on Slice of Sci-Fi, you see.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? If I can't, I mean, bring it on. Go ahead. Everybody call up and just, you know, yeah, I'm good with that. Go ahead. I can take it.
Okay, last one, and this party's over.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, this is Joe in Anaheim. Just finished listening to the All Summer Feedback at Palooza Special Edition. You know what, guys? I love the idea of West Side Station. I think it's a great idea. We could take the song Maria, turn it into Lita. Lita, last night I met a girl named Lita. Tosh could sing it. We'd get Jeffrey in the old suit again. It'd be great. Anyways, guys, thanks a lot. Got on. Love the podcast. Bye.
He sums it up, it'll be great.
That's all you need to know.
It'll run on Broadway for minutes.
In Hollywood, the six-word story pitch?
Yeah, it'll be
Babylon
great.
5, West Side Story, great.
Yeah, if JMS could do it with, you know, Casablanca in space, why can't we do it?
West Side Story, exactly. I'd love to see you in the shower curtain doing some of those dance moves.
Oh, yeah. That would so be me.
Dun, yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. That's just
all of a sudden we're
in
that.
You're always a cop.
We're in all that jazz now. All of a sudden, I'm not sure what's up there.
Never underestimate the power of show tunes.
No, exactly. It's just. Well, this was one heck of a train wreck of a show, guys. We did great.
Yeah.
This
thanks
is
thanks to everybody who put pennies on the rails.
It's a what is this, 163 episodes now? Is this the 163rd? I know the fans give me a hard time because I don't keep count, but because we heard that earlier. But I just think that, you know, we're really starting to refine our art here.
No, I
starting
think
to find something.
160 some episodes and we're finding our stride. Yeah.
We're starting to get a voice. I like this show. Remind me to tune in sometime. Take us out, Summer, please.
If you want to comment, submit your own comments on this thing we do, send us an email, babylonpodcast@gmail.com. Start an argument over at the forums, farpointforums.com. Come to our website, babylonpodcast.com. Comment on the shows, the episodes. Donate while you're there, please. And also, leave a voicemail of your own. Try to stem the Gary flood. That number is 206-338-2259. That's 206-338-2259.
The year that Kosh strummed us all.
Be back on the tour!
And we'll see you next time on the other side of the show tunes.